Is there anybody in the room who knows what it is to just stumble up on some blessings that almost look like they were waiting on you? See, you're living in the second chapter of Ruth. You know you're in the second chapter of Ruth when all of a sudden you're just walking along, minding your own business, and boom, here comes a blessing. And you walk along, boom, here comes another blessing. Boom, here comes another blessing. You see, they had already pulled the wheat. She didn't even have to pull it. It was just laying on the ground. All she had to do was pick up what was being laid on the ground. There are some things that God can bring into your life that you didn't even work for it. He said, I'll give you houses you didn't build. I'll give you vineyards you didn't grow. I'll just let you stumble into things. And all of a sudden, all you got to do is have enough faith to receive what I've released in your life. I could tailor the continuity of my thought process into a linguistical form that would cause me to be heralded for my massive ability to articulate the concepts of God. But I choose to go beyond all of that and just tell you like my grandmama then would tell you. The reason the people have an attitude when that begins to happen in your life is that God has given you favor. And favor now is preferential treatment. It is preferential treatment. Favor is distinctive treatment whereby you have reached an elite status that you don't even deserve. And the reason they're upset is that favor ain't fair. Favor ain't fair. If you're taking notes, be sure you get that. Favor ain't fair. God may be just, but he's not fair. When God gets ready to bless you, he doesn't just bless you because you deserve to be blessed, but God has a way of just choosing to bless you and saying, that lady right there, I'm going to leave that house for her. Can't nobody buy the house but her. Everybody else that tries to buy it, everything's going to be tied up. That's her house. Nobody's going to get it but her. Favor.
This is the potter's touch.
Greetings in the name of Christ our King, our risen Lord. Yes, I am excited. I'm fired up. I'm motivated. I'm in the process of getting ready for what is going to be the most explosive meeting that we have ever done. Megafest is a meeting everybody's talking about. They're coming to Dallas on trains to be a part of this great meeting. And I'm excited about all the response I'm hearing from you. And today, we get to share a message that has become, for me in many ways, the alma mater through which we walk and live and move. The message is called Favor Ain't Fair. In fact, we've entitled the whole series like that. If you know anything about walking in the favor of God, you understand that God's favor and God's grace over your life has nothing to do with your background, your past, where you came from, or what your haters have to say about it. If God be for you, he's more than the world against you. Sit back, get you a cup of coffee, check this out. Favor, maybe it ain't fair. We believe that nothing just happens, that God, in fact, orchestrates our lives, puts us at the right place at the right time, around the right people to receive what we need to go to the next level of life. That is important because sometimes life seems chaotic and painful and uncertain. And it helps me to know that God has some master plan, that there is some method to the madness, that ultimately there's going to be some purpose. Even out of painful situations, there will be purpose. And so we've been taking a good look at Ruth and how God ordered her steps and how she is a Moabite woman. In case you're not familiar with her, she is in fact a Moabite woman coming out of the land of Moab, an idolatrous and perverse nationality of people who did not recognize God as God. But because Bethlehem and Israel in particular were going through a famine, Naomi took her two sons and her husband, and they went down into Moab and met these two girls. And we talked about Ruth and Orpah, who married Naomi's two sons. Now, you got to understand these characters, because if you don't understand these characters, you won't understand the metaphor of what it means to you. The two sons that these two girls married died, and Naomi's husband died. And we talked about how these three women who were engulfed in the grief and the sadistic pain of losing their companions engulfed each other in tears and wept. Orpah goes back to Moab because she can, and she's released to go. Naomi says she's going to Bethlehem, where she came from. She's wilted and withered. Ruth, standing in between Naomi, who represents where she wants to go, and Orpah, who represents where she came from, turns toward Naomi and says, I'm going with you. Thy God shall be my God, thy people shall be my people. Where thou lodgest, I shall lodge, and where thou diest, I shall die. But the cost of her decision is quite painful, because now she is in Bethlehem, a Moabite woman, a minority woman, a woman who is considered a second-class citizen, not a legitimate citizen of Bethlehem. She is impoverished and she's widowed. She has an economic issue as well as a spiritual issue, but she is willing to go through the adversity because she has been so impressed with Naomi and her God that she wants to be where Naomi is, experiencing Naomi's God, walking into the abundance that Naomi has decreed possible. And so she is in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is translated to mean the house of bread. And yet she's starving for bread. Isn't it funny how you can be in the right place and still have a great need? Isn't it funny how you can be in the place where blessings are flowing, and because of your situation, you're unable to enter into the blessing that other people have? But she knew she was in the right place, and that is imperative for you to be able to do what God has called you to do. Theologically, Naomi represents the nation of Israel, who through the death of her husband typifies the separation that Israel experienced from the wholesome worship of Jehovah their God. Her two sons and the death of her two sons, the birthing of her two sons, represent Israel dividing into two kingdoms. The death of her two sons represents the end of the era where Israel has divided into two kingdoms. And the ending of that era is signified by Ruth making up her mind to follow Naomi back home. Now, Ruth following Naomi back home is the type of the church whose umbilical cord to God comes through the rich soil of Judaism. We have a Judeo-Christian society. There is a cord between Judaism and Christianity. What we call the Old Testament teaches us the identity and the personality of our God. And so Ruth goes back with Naomi, representing the church now, coming into a covenant relationship with God through her association with this older woman named Naomi, who incidentally happens to be her mother-in-law. Now, when we look at Ruth, then we see that she is a metaphor for the church. Her life, her struggles, her acquisition of land become the picture or a template, as it were, for the church. Now I've got you totally confused. Good. You'll be all right. Ruth now is coming into Bethlehem. She's gleaning over in the corners of the field. There's a famine. The woman is hungry. She's gleaning. Gleaning is to gather wheat. She's gathering whatever wheat she can, wherever she can, over in the corners of the field. She happened up on Boaz's field. Boaz is rich. He's loaded. He has influence and affluence. And he sees her gleaning in the corner of the field. Now you ought to be ready to catch hold to me and go forward. Boaz is talking to some women who are gleaning, and he looks over there and says, who is that over in the field? And they said, that's Ruth, the Moabitess. And he says, this is what I want you to do. I want you, she's going to be coming this way. And when she follows this direction, I want you to leave some handfuls of what you have harvested. Just drop them on the ground for her to find. Now watch this. Here comes Ruth from the background to the forefront, from obscurity to the notoriety. Isn't it nice to be in the right direction? Just that you haven't gotten there yet, but you know that you're moving in the right direction. If you, as a church, as a Christian, begin to move in the right direction, there's a certain little signs that are indicative of the fact that you are in the right direction. A little sign such as this. When I look back over my shoulder and see where I came from, I might not look successful to you, But when I realized that I came out of a famine, and I'm glad that I'm just here, survival. And so she survived it. And then she went from being survival into a place of being sustained. And now she's coming into a place that she notices increase. Somebody say increase. All of a sudden she's gathering them and she said, look at this extra wheat. Look at this extra wheat just laying on the ground. What Ruth doesn't know is that Boaz has had a conversation about her that she didn't even hear. He has commanded the release of blessings. Somebody say release. He has commanded the release of blessings. She didn't even hear the conversation, but she is a recipient of something that he has said about her that caused her to start receiving things that have been released for her that she doesn't even know how it happened. There are a few people in this room who have just, in an attempt to follow God, have noticed increase. We didn't hear the conversation. We don't know what was said in heaven. We don't know how the blessing started, but we just noticed that as we attempted to walk with God, that there were some things that just worked out that had never worked out before, as if somebody had just left some things around for us, and we started coming into things that didn't make it. Is there anybody in the room who knows what it is to just stumble up on some blessings that almost look like they were waiting on you? See, you're living in the second chapter of Ruth. You know you're in the second chapter of Ruth when all of a sudden you're just walking along, minding your own business, and boom, here comes a blessing. And you're walking over, boom, here comes another blessing. Boom, here comes another blessing. You see, they had already pulled the wheat. She didn't even have to pull it. It was just laying on the ground. All she had to do was pick up what was being laid on the ground. There are some things that God can bring into your life that you didn't even work for it. He said, I'll give you houses you didn't build. I'll give you vineyards you didn't grow. I'll just let you stumble into things. And all of a sudden, all you got to do is have enough faith to receive what I've released in your life.
Still to come on The Potter's Touch.
And of course they're going to be upset. Of course they're going to roll their eyes when you walk in the room. Of course they're going to have an attitude. Of course they don't like you. Of course they resent you. They're frustrated because God preferred you, gave you preferential treatment. And the next time you run up on somebody who's looking at you all funny and God is blessing you, doing himself, yeah, I know what it is. It's okay. I understand. Go ahead and have all the attitudes you need to, because this is favor. And favor ain't fair. It's not fair, is it? Put it on the back of your car. Say, it ain't fair, is it? Put it on your house, right on the mailbox. It ain't fair. When you get that new job, put it right there on your computer. It ain't fair. It ain't fair. It ain't favor. Ain't fair. When God blesses you.
What arose in America as the biggest event of its kind is back. And now the stage is set.
You have never seen a meeting like this.
Together again at MegaFest 2013.
We're taking over Dallas.
You're going to catch abundance. You're going to catch God's blessing.
Encouraging women.
Peacemaker is somebody who declares war on anything that disturbs their peace.
There is a principle that will cause a shift in your situation.
If he can deliver me, he can deliver you.
Equipping men.
We have more fear in running out than we do faith in running over.
Everyone must portray it, claim dominion over it, and take it back for the kingdom.
This is going to be big.
Elevated to walk in that destination.
Meet us in Dallas, Texas, August 29th through 31st. Register at mega-fest.com or call 1-800-BISHOP-2 today.
We do it big in Texas. He said, I'll give you houses you didn't build. I'll give you vineyards you didn't grow. I'll just let you stumble into things. And all of a sudden, all you got to do is have enough faith to receive what I've released in your life. Now, the people who are responsive to that are people who have experienced that. There are people who are living in the book of Ruth right now. They're just seeing some things. All the work was taken out of it. It was just there. It was just available to you. And you started receiving the blessings of the Lord. When it happens like that, you have to understand, because some of you are not used to the way that we worship. And you have to understand, when you see people who explode into clamorous, bodacious praise, and you sit back and you conclude, oh, isn't that interesting? Oh, look at those people. Oh, they're so animated and so emotional, you know. That's nice. It is not that we're emotional. See, it's just that it's very difficult to be in a burning building and find a fire escape and remain aloof. It's very difficult to be at the end of your rope and something just drops on your plate out of nowhere, just in the nick of time. And if God hadn't have done what he did when he did it, you would have never been able to survive what you went through. Just when your enemy thought he had you, boom, God just drops a blessing. It will make you have to praise him. It will make you have to thank him. It will make you have to rejoice. It will make you, even if you have to do it in your house and lock the door and pull the blind and throw your hand up and say, Lord, I thank you for what you did for me. God has a way of making you excited. And I want to say something to you, because you have to understand this. All these women are out here working in the hot sun, harvesting wheat. And Ruth, because she responds to the beckoning of Boaz, comes along without half the work, receives just as much harvest as if she had pulled it, plucked it, cleaned it, and prepared it. It was just laying there waiting on her. Now, I want to talk to some people. Is there anybody in here who's had some blessings just fall on you? Mm-hmm. You came on the right Sunday. This sermon is for you. You need to understand, because when this starts to happen, people react strangely to you. They react strangely to you because, I could say it eloquently and articulately. I could say it prolifically and profoundly. But I choose to avoid that and just to break right down into ebonics. And I could tailor the continuity of my thought process into a linguistical form that would cause me to be heralded for my massive ability to articulate the concepts of God. But I choose to go beyond all of that and just tell you like my grandmama then would tell you. The reason the people have an attitude when that begins to happen in your life is that God has given you favor. And favor now is preferential treatment. It is preferential treatment. Favor is distinctive treatment whereby you have reached an elite status that you don't even deserve. And the reason they're upset is that favor ain't fair. Favor ain't fair. If you're taking notes, be sure you get that. Favor ain't fair. God may be just, but he's not fair. When God gets ready to bless you, he doesn't just bless you because you deserve to be blessed, but God has a way of just choosing to bless you and saying, that lady right there, I'm going to leave that house for her. Can't nobody buy the house but her. Everybody else that tries to buy it, everything's going to be tied up. That's her house. Nobody's going to get it but her. Favor. Of course they're going to be upset. Of course they're going to roll their eyes when you walk in the room. Of course they're going to have an attitude. Of course they don't like you. Of course they resent you. They're frustrated because God preferred you, gave you preferential treatment. And the next time you run up on somebody who's looking at you all funny and God is blessing you, just let them say, yeah, I know what it is. It's okay. I understand. Go ahead and have all the attitude you need to because this is favor. And favor ain't fair. It's not fair, is it? Put it on the back of your car. Say, it ain't fair, is it? Put it on your house, right on the mailbox. It ain't fair. When you get that new job, put it right there on your computer. It ain't fair. It ain't fair. It ain't favor. Ain't fair. When God blesses you, you do understand that many of the things you got aren't even fair. You're not even qualified to have the position, but you got it. You're living in a house and it don't even work out on paper how you got the house. Favor ain't fair. Roof just started being blessed. It wasn't even fair. Just... The Bible said that, please sit down. The Bible said that Boaz had spoken to the reapers and said, just leave her handfuls on purpose. Handfuls, provision on purpose. There is an umbilical cord between provisions and purpose. God doesn't give you provisions just for your own personal gain. God gives you provisions for purpose. Everything you've got, your talent, your singing, your speaking, your ability, your charisma, your articulation, your IQ, your financial dexterity, it makes no difference what it is. God gave you those favors for his divine purpose. So the statement reads in the Bible, drop some handfuls on purpose. If you know your purpose, God said, I'll leave stuff just laying around for you. If you know it's not for you, I'll just leave some handfuls on your purpose. If you know your purpose, if you don't allow people to manipulate you and control you and have them move you into their agenda, if you know who you are and stand your ground and stay on your purpose, your provision is in your purpose. When you find your purpose, you'll find your provision. Do you hear? Your provision is in your purpose. When you find your purpose, you'll find your provision. And he dropped it. And so what happens to you is you get to this stage where God just starts leaving you blessings. And the first reaction you have, you want to tell people. Child, you will not believe. Have you ever called somebody and you said, how you doing? What you doing? What's going on? You didn't really want them to answer. You want them to hurry up so you could tell them. You would not believe what just happened to me. I'm telling you, I just stopped by the grocery store. Didn't even know. I was over there by the chicken wings. I was getting ready to pick me up some chicken wings because I had to rush back home. Ran into the president of Texaco. They're getting some chicken wings. If I hadn't gone to get the chicken wings, I never would have met him. Found out there's a position right over there. Now that they're phasing out my job, had they not phased out my job, had I not gone to get the chicken wings, had not he gone to get the chicken wings, we never would have had this conversation. And without having to go through all the red tape and all the technology, you would never believe how God just opened up. God just... Give me a second, I'll be back after this.
There's an umbilical cord between provisions and purpose. God doesn't give you provisions just for your own personal gain.
God has taken special care of you every step along the way. Ever wonder why? Because favor ain't fair.
Everything you've got, your talent, your charisma, God gave you those favors for his divine purpose.
When you write us, visit our website or call 1-800-BISHOP-2. You will be given Favor Ain't Fair on 3 DVDs just for helping us reach others with your best gift.
You can't be blessed and everybody just sit back and fold their arms. It ain't going to happen. It's going to be a whole lot. I don't believe it. But in spite of the chatter, if God has blessed you,
and when your gift is $89 or more, you will also receive your own Psalms 90 tote bag, the Favor Ain't Fair journal set, and T.D. Jakes Classics Volume 5 DVD series, full of timeless wisdom. You are highly favored of the Lord. Isn't it time you walked in it? It's coming. The biggest family-friendly festival is back. MegaFest 2013.
People are asking me, what is MegaFest all about? Is it a conference? Yes, it's a conference, but my God, it's so much more. I mean, it's festivity, it's fun, it's restaurants, it's shopping, it's people of God relaxing. We've been through the fire, we've been through the flood, we made it. It's time to celebrate.
Bigger, better, grander than before. 3 event-packed days for the whole family.
All types of entertainment for your family, for your kids. We've got materials that men are going to need to cause you to stand up and be powerful, to be the man that God has called you to be in Manpower. The woman, our Lucy, you already know, it's incredible. I want you to put your family in a spiritual environment and show them that it's fun to be a Christian.
MegaFest 2013. Get your tickets now. Visit mega-fest.com or call 1-800-BISHOP-2.
Throw a party in Texas. You know what? We do it big in Texas.
Every time I reached after something that didn't work out, I couldn't figure out why. But I waited patiently on the Lord, and in due time, he began to make me see that he wasn't hurting me, he was blessing me. He was blessing me by saying no. And my direction came through my rejection. If I had not had rejection, I would have never gotten clear direction. It was the doors he shut that showed me the doors he opened. So the trick to it is, it's not to wait on the Lord. The trick is not to wait, because you really had no choice. You have to wait. You have to wait. You can't get there till you get there. You got to wait. But the trick to it is, while you're waiting, to renew your strength, to mount up on wings, to run and not be weary. If you can deal with the no's in life and the rejection and still remain positive and centered and focused, you're a person of faith. If you can go through adversity and know that God has a master plan, you're a person of discipline.
I've got to stop there, but it's been a real joy and a real blessing to share the word of the Lord with you. And I want to encourage you to just embrace the idea of walking in God's favor. Breathe it in, pray in it, walk in it, think in it, expect in it. Favor is yours for the taking. And God is distributing out to his children favor that just boggles the mind. I thank God for you. I'm praying for you. I hope to see you at MegaFest. And know that our hearts are toward God and towards you.